The show is Stand to Reason, friends. Greg Kokel, your host here. Thank you for being a part of what we do here on a regular basis. When I say regular, we do 2 hours a week of this show. And actually, I do them back-to-back, but it's spread out Wednesday and Friday, right? And then we also do 2 hours a week with Amy, the famous Amos, Amy Hall. And we do STR Ask. Some of you may not know about that. If you want to send in questions at hashtag STR Ask, we answer those questions on the air on those podcasts. So you're welcome to tune into those as well. But I want to bring you up to date on a couple of things. First of all, we got Rethink coming up shortly. Actually, Rethink Orange County, Rethink Apologetics Orange County, is 2 weeks and 3 days from us. And I got good news, bad news for you, okay? The good news is we're sold out. And that would be the bad news, too. Now, that doesn't mean you can't come. We are actually sold out of the main auditorium, which holds 2,000 people. So you can still come, and we'd love to have you there, but there are going to be some restrictions. Like you have to be in an overflow room, and also there's going to be restrictions on the particular breakouts that you'll be able to go to, only those in the larger venues, because that's where we're going to put all the extra people. So, I mean, good news, we're thrilled, but we also know some people are going to be disappointed not to be able to get into the big venue where the main event is held. You'll be watching on a screen in the gym or some other place. But we want you to come anyway. And in fact, last year we had a sellout too, as it turned out, and we had folks who went into one of the overflow areas and actually liked it larger, better than the big venue because they got better visibility of the speakers and everything. So, but we're going to give you a break on the ticket if you sign up now for the overflow, and that instead of 45 or 55, whatever it was at the door, it's just going to be 35 to get a pass for the overflow, and then some restrictions on the breakouts. But we want you there nevertheless. So if you go to rethinkapologetics.org, or make that .com, .com, you can still be part of what we're doing in Orange County on September 27th and 28th, geared for young people, middle school or high school, but college kids come. And so do parents and youth group leaders, whatever. We're just shooting for that. We don't dumb anything down, though. We make it a lot of fun, but we give you our solid core speakers like Christopher Yuan and Jay Warner Wallace and Sean McDowell and Drew Worship and Amy Hall. And I'll be there, and Alan Schliemann and Tim Barnett. You're shaking your head. Are you not? Are you speaking this time? No, you're not, huh? Oh, Amy's not going to be on the stage, but you're going to be answering questions at the booth, right? Okay, gotcha. All right, we usually do a Q&A thing in one of the breakouts, but we got squeezed out of that because other more worthy folk have taken our spot. We've got lots of great people that are going to be part of this. So anyway, there's the skinny on coming up September 27th and 28th. Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, the main sanctuary, is full, 2,000 people, but we have overflow for $35. Go to rethinkapologetics.com to make sure you can get in to the overflow. I mean, there's a chance. I think we can take 550 more, right? And we had like 2,300 last year. So anyway, there you go. That's what we got. So looking forward to seeing you all there. Incidentally, we have also begun the registration for the Minneapolis event, November 8th and 9th, and that's, 2 months away, about 8 weeks, 9 weeks, something like that. We already have pushing 700 people signed up for that. Can you believe it? 700. And a whole slew of them have been the last week or so. So we feel like the momentum is growing there. I was praying for 2,000 as an opener in Minneapolis, and they're praying, Grace Church Eden Prairie, for 3,000. So their faith is bigger than mine. The biggest opening we've had so far was our first shot at Birmingham a few years ago. We had 1,600. So we're just trusting God for a great number there, and whatever it is, they're going to have a great time. And it's November, right? So it's going to be... people want to spend more time indoors. Maybe not Minnesotans, because they like the Minnesota cold kind of experience, but we'll have a warm event that Friday night and Saturday, November 8th and 9th. Pretty much the same lineup of speakers with one exception. In other words, Jay Warner Wallace will be there, Christopher Yuan. But instead of Sean McDowell, we'll have Frank Turek there. So it's just going to be great. And, of course, our lineup from Standard Reason. We are so thrilled about opening up the Midwest. If you're in Chicago, you can make the trip. If you're in Madison, you can make the trip. If you're, what's the other states around there? Iowa, you can make the trip. If you're in the Dakotas, you can make the trip. Make it a road trip. Have a good time. Lots of room, by the way, and that's the biggest church in that state. And we're thrilled to be working with them. I have had some really sweet experiences the last couple of days with visibility that I have been given. Oh, wait a minute. I got to tell you something else before I go further. If you're in Southern California, there's something else happening in early October at Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa. That's the site where there'll be a special unbelievable event. And when I say unbelievable, I mean unbelievable as in Justin Brierley's unbelievable radio show that many of you listen to. It's hosted there in London, and Justin is a Brit. He's been to the States a number of times, obviously, doing special events. He's been here in this studio, and actually once, not only have I interviewed him from afar, but also here, I interviewed him for an hour, then he interviewed me for an hour. So we're in the same studio. We just traded roles, and it was great. Justin does a great job of bringing together people from qualified people from the opposite end of the spectrum, so to speak, whatever it is that they're talking about. In this particular case, on Friday night, October 11th, it will be Oxford professor, Christian writer John Lennox, who will be engaging with YouTube star Dave Rubin, who is host of The Rubin Report, in a live audience situation edition of The Unbelievable Show. And that's what's happening on Friday night. Then on Saturday is a conference. And the speakers include, of course, John Lennox, Jay Warner Wallace will be there, Mary Jo Sharp will be there, Brian Broderson, A.J. Roberts, Ruth Jackson, Jeff Fiennes. A very great lineup. I know what you're thinking if you're not in Southern California. You're thinking, rats, man. Those folks get all the good talent. They have all those good events. You're right. We have a lot of good things here, I got to admit. I'm just letting you know because Justin is a friend, and we've done work together, been on his show, he's been on mine, blah, blah, blah. And this is a great event, and I might be able to make this. I'm not sure. I have to look at my own schedule. I know I'm going to Israel mid-October, but I might be able to show up just to see what's going on. And so maybe I will see you there. If you want information about that, go to www.unbelievable.live. So it's unbelievable.live, and you get all the skinny, and you get sign up, and there's some costs involved, whatever. All the details are there, though. Unbelievable.live, October 11th and 12th in Costa Mesa at Calvary Chapel, same place we're holding our Rethink Apologetics Conference coming up soon. So that venue's getting a workout. Now, what I was starting to say a few moments ago is one of the odd things about doing what I do is I do it kind of alone. You write books and they go out. You're on your own writing. You write commentaries or solid grounds or mentoring letters, they go out, whatever. You do radio shows, you're sitting in a booth, you're talking to a mic, it goes out. It's hard to see what's actually happening as a result of what you do. Unless I get a chance to talk to people either directly in person or through notes that they send in about the impact that what we as a team are doing at Stand to Reason is having in their life. And so we get a deeper sense as we go out places of how big the Stand to Reason community actually is, and how God has used the efforts that we have offered to make a huge difference in people's lives. For example, I was in Las Vegas over the weekend, and it was just Friday night. I got there and Saturday came back because I had an event Saturday most of the day, flew back Saturday evening. And sitting dead center in the second row was a young lady who was either a sophomore or junior in high school. And I won't give you a lot of details about her life, partly because I know she's listening right now. But she made my day. Briefly, her story is she came from a very secular environment there in her high school, and the sponsor, in a sense, pastoral sponsor for the event I was with, Nate, he was the teacher at the school that encountered this young lady, and he was helping her with a writing project. She wasn't a Christian, though. And so he eventually invited her to the Bible Club meeting after school, which she went to. And I think, if I recall, Nate told me that at some point they showed the video of the debate that I had with Deepak Chopra. This was probably 10, 12 years ago, but my younger self. But it, for some people, it's the first time they ever even saw a discussion like that. And I think for numbers in that group, that was the case. And with that and the other things that were discussed at the group and the impact that Nate personally had on her life, she ended up coming to the Lord. And then she just had a voracious appetite for spiritual things and found Stand to Reason and began listening to the podcast. And when I met her after the event, it was so sweet because she was so sweet and clearly, vibrantly excited about Christ. Her life had been magnificently touched by the gospel, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. And now she just wanted more and more and more. And Nate is no longer guiding that particular group because he's got another job. But she's overseeing that and keeping that alive. And I got a chance to talk with her, and she was so thankful for the radio podcast, for the way that Stand to Reason had an impact in her life. And, of course, this is always touches my heart when I hear these things. And here I could just not hear it. I'm seeing it on her face. And she's being so sweet and excited. But what she's doing is she's continuing on the group that Nate started, or at least oversaw, and she's involved with that. So what she's doing, she's taking what she's learned, even as a fairly young Christian, and she's paying it forward. Oh, by the way, I have to tell you something. Remember, she came from a very secular kind of group. Well, from what I understand, most of her friends abandoned her when she became a follower of Jesus, which doesn't surprise me, because that happens a lot. But she wasn't down in the mouth about it, though I'm sure that it's hard on her when friends leave. She had something in exchange. She had Jesus, and a Jesus that she could enjoy and know, and that she could pass on to others what she's doing. You know, I've always said, bloom where you're planted. Take whatever it is, opportunity that you have right now, and use it. And as you're using that circumstance and that situation and that opportunity, then you are going to grow more personally as you're passing on what has been passed to you. And you are going to be building other people up and likely creating more opportunities in the future for yourself as you're faithful in smaller things than God gives you larger things to. So this is a great pattern that's already beginning to assert itself in her life, this sweet student. And I know that God is going to use that. It's just great to be able to meet her. And really, that made that conversation. I had a great time with Nate and the team and all of the people. It was a sellout crowd. The place was full. They had more people than they expected. Their first apologetics event. It was a lot of fun. But to end the day by meeting this young lady and having seen her front and center for the entire time, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, excited about Christ, having her life so changed by knowing God. That was just the best. It's not the only feedback I've got this weekend, though. I just had a meeting with somebody that I've known for actually a while. And I mean, just like here and there, coming to the office once in a while, or I'd see him at an event or something. But he's been connected with Stand to Reason for many years. And I just today got a chance to find out his own story. And again, another person that was just overflowing with gratitude because early on, many, many years ago, back when I was at the KBRT studios doing the show, that was the flagship station for the show that later became the Stand to Reason show. He was listening back in the early days when I was, I think, still there or broadcasting out of that studio. Became a Christian in 97, something like that. But found Stand to Reason and never had really much exposure to Christianity at all before. Then met a thoughtful, gracious person who really influenced him for Christ. Started reading the Gospels, and I've heard this before. Though this was not the case for me. So in a way, it's a little foreign to me, but I've heard it from so many other people that when he started reading the Gospels, he was completely taken with the person of Jesus. I mean, that's wonderful. He was completely taken because Jesus is a smart guy, and he's a bold guy, and he's aggressive, and he's not going to get trapped by anybody, and he knows how to handle himself in a fight. But he's gracious and kind and merciful and tender when that's appropriate, too. He's the perfect guy, right? And this all came out in spades for my friend. And he just was very taken with Jesus and the fact that there was another Christian man who introduced him to Christ who was also gracious and also thoughtful. Those two are very powerful combinations. This really turned his head. And very soon he discovered Stand to Reason, which he described to us was similar to his friend, an example of thoughtful, clear-thinking Christianity delivered in a gracious and an amicable kind of fashion. And as a result, he is now a pastor. And he is passing on, paying forward, that which he's received from us and from others as well. Thoughtful Christianity and a gracious, compassionate delivery of the truth. So that was really sweet. I also got a couple of letters I want to read to you very briefly. Oh, this person I just mentioned, his name's Bodie. He says, I want you to know how much we appreciate what you do for the cause of Christ. He dropped me a little note, even though we talk. And as far as we are concerned, there's no finer organization than STR when it comes to advancing the Great Commission and offering training for others to advance it also. Your work has undoubtedly changed our lives and the lives of thousands others for Christ. Thank you. And you're very welcome, Bodie, and it touches all of our hearts to hear your gratitude. The way he put it, he says, mine is just one voice of thousands that are out there. And that's the thousands we can't even see, but I am glad to hear the one voice here. And we do know that it represents a lot of other people as well. Here's another one. After probably a decade of being stagnant or lukewarm Christian, I've quickly gained a passion for apologetics, though I never really knew what that meant in action. I'm one of those guys that ask way too many why and how questions related to both religious and non-religious topics, and therefore, I am a skeptic by nature. Undoubtedly, this led me to a career in biomedical research, and I am surrounded primarily with either non-believers or dispassionate, CEO Christians, like Christmas and Easter only, okay? I finally became involved with Stand to Reason as a strategic partner when I realized how much I've been spiritually fed by God and other STR speakers, and I'm thankful and humbled and proud to be able to support what you guys do. My mission field at work is particularly tough, and I have to be first confident in my convictions. But you can relate to that, can't you? I first have to be confident in my convictions, but also strategic in sharing my faith, the gospel, or questioning their non-faith to be effective in putting a stone in their shoe. Lastly, I'm reading Tactics right now. It's been extremely helpful. Just want to thank you and please share my gratitude with the rest of the team. So one other, and I'll offer this, and then we'll go to break and get your calls. This came in through the website from Travis. Wanted to say I just got finished reading Tactics, and man, what a godsend that book has been. For reasons, I recently had a coming-to-Jesus moment early last year at the age of 38 after living a life of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. 26 years of my life, I was an addict who lived an incredibly selfish lifestyle. I dropped out of high school my freshman year and moved to California at the age of 17. By 22, I was shooting heroin. By 26, I was traveling the world singing in a rock and roll band. Then, in January this year, I had... that's January of last year. I had an experience that completely changed my life. From that moment forward, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. Needless to say, wanted to share my newfound love for Christ with the world, only to discover that the world didn't really want to hear about it. At least not with the tactics I was using. And then he says, when you mention the Christian brother in the seat behind you on the airplane, and that's in the end of the book, the last chapter of the tactics book, talking about creation to Armageddon, I started to laugh out loud. That totally reminded me of myself. Didn't matter if it was my Uber driver, front desk guy at the convenience store, my 7-year-old niece, the trash man, mailman. I'd tell them my entire experience and run them through Genesis to the end days. Too much information, which is what I was suggesting in the end of that book. Don't give people too much. Just give them the basics. Anyway, he says, Tactics has been life-changing for me. Such a great book. I can't state that enough. I will definitely recommend the book to others. I already have. So these are just, I'm just sharing a little bit with you there of little peaks that I have in individual lives that have benefited from the kind of work we do. And I know there are a lot more out there. I don't get to contact you. You don't get contact with me. But I'm just thrilled to be able to sit where I sit and do what I do and see what God does through that. And hopefully what you're doing is what I think and what I've told others, the most important thing, paying it forward. Maybe you can't get in touch with me and or say hi to me at an event or one of our other people, but you can still pay it forward. That is, take what you've learned and pass it on to someone else. And that's the best thanks that we could ever receive. All right, let's take a break. Greg Kokel here, Stand to Reason. Stay with us.
Would you like Greg, Alan, or Tim to come speak at a location near you? If so, just send a quick email to darcy@str.org to schedule them today. Our speakers are accomplished and compelling presenters who address, from a biblical standpoint, topics like abortion, homosexuality, and evolution, as well as apologetics, theology, and evangelism. They're available to teach lectures and seminars, preach sermons, and lead workshops at single events or weekend-long conferences. Their aim is to help Christians like you effectively engage the culture around you with knowledge, wisdom, and character. To learn more, just go to str.org and click on the training tab at the top of the page.
Atheists have long derided Christians for believing in miracles. But atheists need to look no further than their own worldview, materialism, to find miracle claims. In the latest episode of my podcast, Thinking Out Loud with Alan Schliemann, I explain how the atheist materialistic worldview makes several miracle claims to explain reality. Look for my podcast on iTunes or the top of the homepage at str.org.
All righty, Greg Kokel here. The number, 855-243-9975. Call that number on Tuesdays from 4 until 6. And usually Amy will answer the phone and chat with you a little bit before she puts you in the queue. If you're outside the United States, and we occasionally get calls from other places, 562, the international code is 1, right? So 1-562-424-8229 is the number. And then I'll be glad to chat with you about anything that's on your mind in the area of ethics, values, and religion. By the way, there was a short spot that Amy did just a moment ago. I recognize your voice, talking about STR speakers. Just so you know, I talk to people sometimes. I go to their event and they tell me, we never thought we'd be able to get you. As if I'm booked up 24/7 and I can't ever make it to their church. Well, that's not the case. I have, you know, whole weeks and weeks sometimes where there's nothing scheduled. I'm just saying that if you're thinking about wanting to do something together with me, with your church or at a conference or something like that, give us a shot. Give us a call. Contact Darcy at str.org. That's D-A-R-C-Y at str.org. And let her know what you have in mind, and we'll see what we can work out, okay? So just want you to know that. People say, why don't you come to my church? I said, well, I only go where I'm asked. So if you want to have me come by, you got to ask. All right, let's go to Andrew in Stockton, California. Andrew, welcome to the show. Andrew. Oh. Oh, I shouldn't be laughing because Andrew just disappeared. I think he was on, like, speaker, and then he went to turn his speaker off, and we lost him. But I know that Andrew's going to call right back, all right? So let me go to Jeremy in Minneapolis. Is this our CIA buddy, Jeremy, in Minneapolis?
It is, absolutely.
Hey, nice to talk to you, Jeremy. Did you hear the numbers for Rethink in Minneapolis so far?
Yeah, I did. I'm actually on the outreach committee for the conference.
Right.
So I get updated weekly on numbers, but I actually didn't know the number that you said before. So that's more exciting.
Yeah, it's something 660-something or other. You know, I've got it over here in my pile. But we're really, really thrilled. And I want to thank you, too, for your for the help that you're giving in getting that organized. Your group is Twin Cities Apologetics. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep, the ministry is still going here. Yep.
Okay, what's on your mind today, Jeremy?
Yeah, it's kind of related to that. So regarding like the current ministry I'm in,
yeah.
There have been some transitional things that have happened that have basically opened up the opportunity to start something new,
mm-hmm.
especially like in the online world of things.
The what world?
The online world, like social media, stuff like that.
Okay,
so... I just wanted to explain...
Online world. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Amy's helping me out here, but she's looks like she's playing the piano. But what she was doing was hitting the keyboard there. I mean, again, I got it. Okay. I'm a little slow on the uptake here today, Jeremy. Thank you. Well, in the online world, then, you have new opportunities.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah. So I just wanted to explain what I'm thinking, kind of run it by you, and probably some principles about... choosing between potential ministry options
uh-huh.
may come from that.
You know, oh, yeah, sure. I'd be glad to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great.
Okay, so I thought maybe you were going to add some more details, but you're just asking in general right now, correct?
No, I can start with details.
Oh, okay. Is it my turn to talk or your turn to talk? I think it's your turn now. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yep. Oh, that's all right. We'll get it rolling. So... the main option I'm thinking now in terms of especially doing video and kind of going that direction
uh-huh.
is promoting creativity within the apologetics area, let's say, because there are some people right now who are doing great things in that sense in creativity, and I'm personally drawn to content
uh-huh.
that tends to have a more creative side to it.
Okay.
And I can assume that a lot of people are a similar way to that.
Okay.
So my idea was to, like, promote some of those things that people are doing, like, in the, especially that are more creative.
Are you saying when creative, you mean in the way they communicate, excuse me, the apologetic content, or you mean creative in the way they gather an audience or the way they display their information, like online?
Yeah, I'd say I'm especially looking at video production.
I see.
And just doing something different in terms of the presentation
okay.
of the content.
Uh-huh.
So that might involve, yeah, like I mentioned, like promoting things, like kind of leading people to that content and uh-huh. also producing some of that on my own.
Okay.
So that's kind of one idea that I have.
Okay.
And as I was like considering that, I heard a recent interview by William Lane Craig where he talks about something that's pretty obvious, but it's a good reminder that it's good to focus on one area when it comes to pursuing something in apologetics, let's
uh-huh.
say. So one topical area and really focusing on that.
Mm-hmm.
So something that I think I would want to see more of is basically gathering evidence, let's say medical evidence, things like that, behind miracle stories that people have. And I think there are, there's one person, for example, doing a documentary kind of in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, Keener has made some amazing strides towards that area of miracles. But I think a lot more can be done.
Yeah.
In that area.
Keener's two-volume book on miracles, which is kind of a, it's like the creme de la creme. It's like, who can improve on that? It's so thoroughly researched. But are you thinking about doing something in a more popular vein?
Yeah, I suppose you could say popular, like having, especially like visual content behind the stories and, let's say, some of the medical evidence behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, someone's doing kind of a documentary along those lines. But that's like just an idea of this would be something really good in terms of like potentially making a contribution.
Right.
But I don't really know exactly like personally how I would go about that.
Well, let me give you some general response here, because in a certain sense, you're out of my ken, because in this sense that you're asking, it sounds like, whether these particular ideas would be good ideas for you to pursue, since they kind of fulfill some other concerns, that is that it's involved with a video promoting creativity and apologetics, which is something that you like, and also is following the advice of Bill Craig that, you know, you should focus and kind of find a specialty kind of thing. I don't know whether there's a market or not for this kind of thing. It isn't like, I can't say aye or nay. And I can imagine that if somebody is going to focus in on bringing evidence, quality, persuasive evidence regarding healing miracles, and this is where the medical assessment would come in, I presume the medical folk would say, well, this is what that person actually had. We did an assessment. Now that person doesn't have that disease anymore, and it looks like a miracle, that kind of thing. I think that certainly has potential, and it's going to have appeal if it's well done. I'm not sure how, in a certain sense, how deep the market is for that. And so I can't really give you guidance on whether that's a good thing to pursue or not. I do think two things, though, that you've already mentioned that are valuable in making this decision. And one of them is, you said you like the idea of promoting creativity and apologetics and working with videos, okay? I think the idea that you pursue something that you like is a good one, personally. Now, a lot of people are going to take a different approach to this kind of decision. They're going to be praying and asking for God to tell them what to do, which you know me well enough to know that's not what I'm going to recommend, because I don't think that's really a biblical motif. I think you're asking the right kinds of questions, which are broadly, what kind of capabilities do I have? And how can I best employ them? What's the wisest way to do that? And so our prayers are along those lines. God, help me to be smart and wise and get good counsel like you're calling now. I don't know if my counsel's that good, but you're doing the right thing, okay, getting counsel on these kinds of things. So I think that testing the waters in an area that you think is really fun for you or interesting for you is a good idea. Now, you've gone to CIA, you've got some training, and the last couple of years have been really faithful with Twin City Apologetics, and I don't know how that is going. When I talk to you or see you, it seems like things are going fine, but I would be reluctant to move away from something that is bearing fruit that you enjoy doing to strike out on something new unless you had a really, really good reason to do that. Now, it might be that this new thing you strike out on is just going to be kind of a side expression of what you do at Twin City Apologetics. I don't know. I mean, it's nothing wrong with experimenting.
That's accurate, yeah.
Yeah. So it's fine to experiment. The second thing I was going to say, the first being follow your ken, so to speak, your what interests you. I think that's good advice, personally. If you can do work in an area that you really love, that's great. That's the best situation. Not everybody gets to do that. But secondly, is what Bill Craig said is don't spread yourself too thin, try to specialize. I actually think that is a biblical understanding of gifting. And when you look at in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans 12 in particular, what you see there is encouragement by the Apostle Paul about the nature of the body of Christ, that we are all working together to accomplish a broad task as a unified body, though we are contributing in specialized ways. And so my own, in a certain sense, professional trajectory it has been of refining more and more what I do to focus on a specialty and stop doing the things that I am not so good at and find somebody else to do that and focus more and more on what I do better. So here, 27 years now into Stand to Reason, there's a whole bunch of stuff I used to do with the organization that I don't do anymore because we got other people to do that who can do it better than I can, and I can focus more on the thing that is my particular gift. With you with Twin City Apologetics, you're kind of in the early stages of that, a few years now going, and you're probably wearing a bunch of hats and whoever else you're working with. But as time goes on, if you're able to focus more on the things that you find are most productive that you can do, that would be better. That's the idea of gifting. And I think this is where we take a biblical like a value system or a biblical model, and we apply it in our life and say, okay, what can I do that can contribute to the body of Christ, gifting, and then how can I get better at that more specific thing? It may be, by the way, that specializing in medical evidence for miracles, that might be a bit narrow. Am I too narrow for the market, so to speak, unless you were a physician, which I don't think you are, right?
No. Nope.
So then you bring something else to the table that's going to give this project a little bit more oomph than just your own interest or curiosity in it and whatever else skills you bring to organize the material. So, I mean, let's just say you were a famous heart surgeon or something like that, became a Christian, and then you started to specialize. You already got a platform and you know, credibility with a general audience that you can then parlay that into this kind of specialized application of your skills. But if you're not in that field, my question would be whether there's a genuine opportunity for a maybe full-time focus of this for you, as opposed to just maybe doing some research and maybe just writing or speaking on or whatever it happens to be. I'm not sure if you're the guy for this thing. But I mean that. I'm saying I'm not sure. This is the question that you could be asking yourself as a stewardship issue, looking at the market, looking at your capability to meet the needs of a market or create a market for that kind of thing. Now, I know some people are thinking, gee, this sounds so like unspiritual, what you're saying. But well, it does sound unspiritual if what one thinks is the motif for this is just to ask God and feel led. But I don't think that's the biblical model. I think the biblical model is to assess things. And I could show you lots of examples in the scriptures where this is done, even in the New Testament, in the book of Acts and some of the other letters, where assessments are being made as to what is the best course of action to accomplish the most effective ministry with the opportunities that are given. And that's all I'm saying here. Those are the kinds of things you do. So the big takeaway, I think, for you, Jeremy, is what are the skills that you bring to the table? What are the desires you have, the things you really like to do, and over time, honing those areas of productivity into more of a specialty. But this happens over time. I mean, Bill Craig, it's so funny I think it's good advice, but Bill is very good in certain areas, but he's very good in a lot of areas. So he specializes. He thinks he specializes in these things, and he just dabbles in these other things. Well, he's an excellent generalist because he knows so much about so many areas. But that's because he's been very faithful as a student of not only the Word but also of his field, which is philosophy and theology related issues, philosophical theology too. that he's just been faithful over the years to log lots of time, lots of speaking. And so that's what it's going to take. In your case, Jeremy, you know, just, you know, stay at the helm, keep thinking creatively like you're doing, being faithful with what you're given, what you already have. You've got a going concern there now in the Twin Cities. I'd say keep feeding that for the time being, but keeping your eyes open and testing the waters in other ways.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps, especially thinking about the full-time thing you mentioned. Like, if you were going to do something full-time, what might that look like? Or that kind of helps thinking long-term in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Of where are your strengths and interests and all that,
right,
and putting that more into focus. So I think that's helpful.
Yeah, you also have to think of a meal ticket, too. And I can't remember, are you single or are you married?
Single.
Okay, so that makes it a lot easier for you. I was single until I was almost 48. So that makes your life less complicated, and you can take more risks. Once you get married, it's a little different story, as you can imagine. But you're a bit more footloose and fancy free. You have some good training. You have good ambition. You've got a good work ethic. I can just tell that from the time I've spent with you. So, I think all that's going to serve you in good stead. Just keep moving forward, and then watch the opportunities. These things don't have to happen overnight. Still got a lot of time.
All right, thanks, Greg, and I'll see you in a couple months.
Yeah, thanks for your hard work over there at for Rethink in Minneapolis. I look forward to seeing you there, Jen, in 6 weeks, 9 weeks? What is it? I don't know, something like 9 weeks. Okay, Jeremy?
Something like that. All right, sounds great.
All right, buddy, thanks so much.
All right.
Bye. That's a good, faithful guy. And graduate of CIA. In fact, I think he's gone to 2, maybe 3 CIAs, so... He's putting in the time, doing the work, making a difference. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with more on Stand to Reason.
We're at war. It's not a war of bombs and bayonets. It's not a war against flesh and blood. In fact, it's not a physical war at all. It's a spiritual war. That's why Paul instructs us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil's primary scheme is deception. He wants us to believe false ideas about God. And the only way to guard against false ideas is to fill our minds with true ideas. Simply put, we combat deception with truth. It's unfathomable to imagine sending young men and women off to fight a physical war without proper training. Yet, when it comes to spiritual warfare, we do this all the time. The vast majority of our students are simply not prepared for the spiritual battle that awaits them. At this year's Rethink Apologetic Student Conferences, we're training students to counter the lies of the enemy. Lies like God does not exist, God is anti-gay, Muslims and Christians worship the same God are just a few of the false ideas we'll be addressing. So join me and a number of other speakers at one of this year's Rethink Apologetic Student Conferences. Find out more information about Rethink by going to rethinkapologetics.com. That's rethinkapologetics.com.
All righty, friends. Greg Kokel here, giving you a piece of my mind, as I usually do on Tuesdays. Although I shouldn't say that, because I've been gone so much this year. So sometimes I do that on Tuesdays. Sometimes somebody else is giving. But I have kind of logged a lot of special shows. So when I'm gone, you know, I got something for you. Anyway. All right. Andrew, we got you back.
Hey, Greg. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's right. Did hurt me. It just hurt you. You had to wait a little longer. But in Stockton, crazy. California.
Yes.
Isn't Stockton kind of like the home of, what was that movie? I just saw it, for goodness sake. It's a Lucasfilm. You know, the young Harrison Ford was in it, drove the car. It was one of his first movies. Oh, heck.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name.
Kyle, you can't help me out with this? American Graffiti. There you
go.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay, now that we just wasted 2 minutes. Andrew, what's on your mind?
I wanted to call in because, I don't know, this is just a very peculiar situation that came up like a month or two ago. And I have this cousin of mine, and he's really deep into this astrology, and I've been really thankful for your tactics.
Mm-hmm.
I've been considering it, but I just don't know where to start off, like to kind of just, you know, put a stone in a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like, you know, I don't know where to exactly start because it's kind of hard to identify specifically the weak points in his, like, you know, his understanding of,
okay,
you know, truth, you know, religion, the truth of Christianity, and
sure,
stuff like that.
Well, let me ask you this question, because here's, and you know the starting point, but sometimes people who know the starting point don't always start there, and that includes me. I'm just saying, I wrote the book, but I don't always follow my own instructions. So if you're not sure where to start, or you're not sure even what the weakness is, or even some details about the view, I always start by gathering information. So I don't know a lot about astrology. I just know there are these zodiac signs, and I just know that people read these things and they think they apply to their life. All right. So that's all. It's virtually no knowledge of substance. So if I'm going to talk with him about his view, I'm going to want to get a very clear sense of what that view is. And so let's just call him Fred for the sake of discussion. I might just say, hey, Fred, I know you're into this astrology stuff, you know, and all I know about it is what I read in the newspaper, like here's your sign and here's your deal and read this every day and you find out what's going on or whatever. But, you know, you seem to be much more serious about it. I wonder if you can do me a favor. Can you tell me what it really is all about from your perspective and what appeal it has for you? So notice that's a general question to let him talk now. And so Fred can tell me about his knowledge of astrology and his reasons for interest in theology. That's your basic foundation. And as he's talking, you're paying attention. Can you put a stone in his shoe? You don't know yet. You don't know what's out there, okay? That's actually the goal. Further down, make a difference, and I'm glad you're thinking of that, but you can't know whether there's even an opportunity for that until you get the lay of the land, so to speak. And so this is where I would just be a student of his view. And you know this guy, so you're going to have opportunity for more than one conversation, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I think it's entirely fair to say, look, I'm just trying to figure this out. I want to know more about it. I'm not into astrology, but I know you are, and I was thinking maybe you could tell me a little bit more about the details. And then the more he talks, the more you ask questions. Okay, so this is just the information gathering stage. What is it that you believe, and what's the appeal to you with this? And you want to find out not only the content of the astrology beliefs, but you want to find out what is he after, personally, emotionally. And this will just help you get a sense of where he's at. Then you continue based on this information. And the more information you get, the better it's going to be. The more you'll be able to have opportunity to maybe put a stone in his shoe. The second question, you know that too, from the tactics books is, how did you come to that conclusion? So somewhere after you've kind of got all the basic information, you're trying to get an idea also of whether he thinks this stuff is really legit. This stuff is really true. This thing has an operating force, and that's the appropriate time to, you know, ask him, well, then why do you think this accurately characterizes the way the world is? And then let him talk. There's no pressure on you, even at this point, to put a stone in his shoe, to lead him to Christ, any of that stuff. You're just still trying to see if there's an opening. And I've found out that sometimes there's no opening. Now, I suspect since you know this guy and you are willing to talk with him and let him talk with you for a while, then you, eventually you're going to be able to maybe ask a question or make a point that will get him thinking. That's the stone in your shoe idea. But first you got to get a good lay of the land. So I would say don't put any pressure on yourself, Andrew. At least initially, just keep asking those questions. And what I found is that when I start doing this, it things happen. That's the simplest way to put it. I was in flying back 2 weeks ago from Paraguay, and I was in São Paulo, which is in Brazil. I was laying over there, and I ended up sitting at a table. I won't tell the details, but with a young man who spoke Portuguese, which was good because I needed to have him helping me with something, but who spoke Portuguese because he had been a Mormon missionary there in Brazil. Well, then we're both sitting at the same table now, sharing a meal. And my first thought was, oh, man, I've been working for the last almost 2 weeks. I'm really tired. I don't want to get a big thing here about Mormonism. But then I realized I don't have to commit myself to any of that. All I have to do is start drawing him out with some questions. And that's what I began to do. I just relaxed and started asking some questions. And this particular conversation didn't go anyplace dramatic because he had to catch a plane. So he didn't stay so long. But as we were talking, though, what started to become more apparent to me is a line of questions that I could have pursued if we had more time without too much effort. And that's what happens when you commit yourself to just gathering information. You start seeing things that you didn't see before based on the information that you're given, the things that the other person says, that then suggests other questions that begin to probe a little deeper. And when you're probing, then a lot of times you end up asking questions they don't have an answer for, and that starts to bother them. Just like when an atheist does that with us, and then they're putting a stone in our shoe, and we're starting to wonder, well, maybe this isn't all it cracked up to be, you know, Christianity, because I can't answer that question. Well, this is what we want them to do, to think more critically of their own views, and the questions we ask can help them to do that. So that would be my basic bit of advice in the circumstance you're facing.
That's great. I particularly, what happened is I actually went through with kind of this thing you went through with, and I did get some information from him, but it's kind of really obscure. It's more like saying that we're kind of like determined by celestial bodies in the universe. It was kind of like a weird thought.
Sure.
And my question
would be, how exactly does that work? How is it possible that my personality is going to be influenced by celestial bodies? And how does that, why is that the influence tied to the day I passed down the birth canal? I mean, does this seem odd? I can see, how about the day you're conceived? Well, that's when you come into existence. That to me is a little bit more plausible, though it doesn't strike me as plausible at all, but it certainly is more plausible than the arbitrary day you just happened to come down the birth canal. And what if you get a if mom has a C-section and she delivers a day before the change in the astrological sign, aren't you the same you, regardless of what day you come out of the womb? You know what I'm saying? So that would be the kind of question I would ask. How does this work? And so this becomes a little bit not only of a clarification question, but it begins to probe there on why would you believe such a thing?
I see.
So, I mean, those are the questions that come to my mind on this. And these are the questions that you might, you know, begin to ask that all go to the intelligibility of all of the astrology stuff. Why would the any star, look at, you know where that star is? That star is a long way away. That star may not even exist anymore. The only thing that exists is the light from that star, if it's billions of light years away. Maybe it's gone. Maybe there's been a supernova in 15 years, that whole Scorpio thing would disappear because we'll see that it blew up a billion years ago. So how is that star influencing it? Do you see the kind of questions that come to my mind about the intelligibility of this whole system?
Yes, it's becoming a little bit more fluid for me.
Say again?
It's becoming a little bit more fluid, I could see the logical connections you're making with the questions.
Yeah, it's I'm actually asking about the logical connections because, and I honestly have never really thought about this before and before your call. So I'm a neophyte like you. I don't know a lot about it, but what I am doing is I'm thinking about the kinds of questions that come to my mind when a person like your friend would explain, well, the stars are in a certain place and that determines something about your personality. And that's when I think, how could, really? Help me out here. How does that actually work? Because it does sound a little bit unusual when you think about it more carefully. Those stars, like I said, may not even exist anymore. If they are, they're a long way away. How does the light reaching here make a difference? And by the way, you know, all those signs that, like the Scorpio and Gemini, the things they see in the sky, these are just pictures in a certain sense that human beings placed on these star formations by connecting the dots in a certain way. It helps them to recognize it. It isn't like the Pleiades are like connected to each other in a piece. The Pleiades just look that way because, you know, that's the way they visually appear to us. And you could draw you could see, who's the guy with the belt and the sword and all that? You can see his belt. Who's that guy? I can't remember. But you know the point I'm making. They're looking up and seeing light, and then they're connecting dots between these stars, and they're making Scorpios and Geminis or whatever. So how is it that that has any influence on my personality the day that I passed on the birth canal? Right? So I'm just throwing out the kind of stuff that I would throw out, and I don't know what they'd say. I don't know what your friend will say, Andrew, to the questions you ask. Why don't just ask him and find out? Maybe give me a call another show a few weeks down after you've had some conversations. Let me know what you found out, okay? I thank you for your call, Andrew, from Stockton. And that's it for this hour, friends. Greg Kokel here. Stand to reason. Give him heaven. Bye-bye.